Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Breathing 411. Let's jump straight into this week's four thoughts. The first one is titled, Nurturing Our Body and Soul's Physiology. So the way we nurture the body's physiology is, of course, through breathing. The way we nurture the soul's physiology is through love. Thus, we can perform a breath practice followed by loving kindness meditation as a simple yet deeply restoring way to start each day. And that is actually exactly how I start each day, which is what inspired that short thought, is about 12 minutes of slow breathing followed by about 8 or 9 or probably about 10 minutes of loving kindness and then a little bit of gratitude. So you can adopt that if you feel so inspired, but definitely give a little bit of loving kindness a shot. Nurture the body with breathing, nurture the soul with love. And with that, I will move on to thought number two. It is titled, A Technical Yet Elegant Reminder of the Power of the Breath. And here's a quote. The parasympathetic and sympathetic systems are tonically active, with different pathways extending from the brainstem to the hypothalamus to all major peripheral organs and afferent nerves from the lungs, airways, and heart, projecting to the brainstem and to the hypothalamus and higher order neural regions. Because of this anatomical connectivity, changes in breathing rate are quickly signaled to the brain, allowing the brain to interpret that the body is in a relaxed, calm state and safe state, end quote. And that is from a paper published earlier this year, Croswell et al. Is the deep rest study we talked about last week. And that is amazing, right? Because of this anatomical connectivity, changes in breathing rate are quickly signaled to the brain, allowing the brain to interpret that the body is in a relaxed, calm, and safe state. I love that. So this is just a quick reminder, although that was a lot of big words, right? Hypothalamus and these afferent nerves and all that. This is just a beautiful reminder to take advantage, right, of this anatomical connectivity this week. Make sure you take advantage of it so you can put your brain into a calm, relaxed, and safe state. And of course, don't forget to check out the Science 411 on that paper if you are so inspired. It's one of my favorites I've created and it's super useful and practical, so check it out. Okay, let's move on to thought number three. It is titled, There is No Hedonic Adaptation to This. And here is a quote. You might have thought that when we more often experience awe in the wonders of life, those wonders lose their power. This is known as the law of hedonic adaptation, that certain pleasures diminish with their increased occurrence. Not so with awe. The more we practice awe, the richer it gets. End quote. And that is Dacher Keltner from the book Awe. It's a great book about the science and just all the kind of beauties of experiencing awe. And I love that last part, right? The more we practice awe, the richer it gets. It doesn't have that hedonic adaptation where, you know, you get the hedonic treadmill, right? Where you're running in place. You're always wanting the next thing, always wanting the next thing, but you're getting nowhere because you're not happy where you are, right? But this doesn't have that because, well, I guess I should step back. So let me restate it. The more we practice awe, the richer it gets. So I think this explains perfectly why daily practices like breathing or meditation, time in nature, reading timeless wisdom like we do here, right? They never lose their potency because each one brings us awe, connecting us closer to our true selves. And of course, you cannot hedonically adapt to that, right? There's no hedonic adaptation to connecting to your true highest self. I love that. And I just love that idea that the more we experience awe, the richer it gets. That's been my experience. The more I do my breathing practices, the more great teachers and people I read about, the more I practice time in nature, all of these things, right? Loving kindness, especially. I've been doing that for about 6 months straight now every morning. And it's just like, it gets better because each day, each morning, it brings awe, and you cannot adapt to that, which is amazing. All right, let's move on to thought number four. It is titled, "A Great Zen Master Was Once Asked." And here's a quote. "A great Zen master, renowned for his wisdom, was once asked, 'What's the most remarkable thing you've learned in all your years of meditation and study?' He answered, 'The most remarkable thing is that we're all going to die, but we live each day as though it weren't so.'" End quote. That is Ronald Siegel, PsyD, from his great book, The Mindfulness Solution. And I have nothing to add to that, right? That is amazing. The most remarkable thing is that we're all going to die, but we live each day as though it weren't. So that is a passage you can meditate on for the rest of your life. All right, with that, let's move on to the one quote for this week. It is a great one. Here it is, quote, "Wholehearted, ready laughter heals, encourages, relaxes anyone within hearing distance," end quote. And that is Eugenia Price. And finally, the one answer for this week, the category is the heart-brain connection. And the answer is, the heart might be able to communicate with the brain through the vagus nerve via the firing of these, which are sometimes referred to as the little brain of the heart. So it can connect through the firing of these. What are intrinsic cardiac neurons? So yes, your heart has its own neurons, and they can locally influence the heart, which is crazy. I just briefly reading about it, you know, looking up the answer for this week, I was like, oh, this is really neat. But also, it may also contribute by releasing certain hormones and different chemical messengers to influencing the vagus nerve, which can then connect to the brain. So we have this heart-brain connection. And we also know a while back we shared a quote. I can't remember how long now. It must have been 5 or 6 months, maybe not quite that much. About the heart, you know, being where the mind is, according to some of the ancient yogis and meditators. So just such a cool thing to see science discovering such neat stuff like this. And of course, real quick, short plug for the Learning Center, because I love it, right? Go check it out if you're interested. It is all about helping us learn to think, speak, and act in alignment with the people we want to become, right? And I'm going to just read something to you, because I think it's really powerful to understand why it works. So all it really is, right, is it's wisdom. I send you an email every morning. It's a short email, and that's it. And that is like a seed that you use. It takes about 20 or 30 seconds to read. But that little seed, you start drawing from your environment, right? What you need to bring more wisdom, love, and humor into your life for those qualities that are true to you, right? Whichever ones are resonate with you to grow in your life. So I just help you along your path while I'm helping myself along my path, right? That's why I'm so obsessed with it, because I use it every day. So go check it out if you're interested, breathlearning.com. You can pay what you can. It's 20 bucks a month, or pay what you can. And I would love to have you in there learning alongside. All right, with that, let me go through, recap this week's four thoughts. Remember, the way we nurture the body is through breathing, the body's physiology. The way we nurture the soul's physiology is through love. So good. Remember that technical, crazy passage on the power of the breath? The anatomical connectivity allows changes in breathing to be quickly signaled to the brain. That is powerful. There's a great book, Charlie Morley. The name escapes me. Funny enough, I can't remember the name of his great book. It's about sleep, and it's Wake Up to Sleep. There we go. Got it. Sorry, Charlie. He has a great passage on that too, and you'll have to go check it out. He has a few great passages on why breathing has such profound impacts on the brain. The brain prioritizes signals from breathing above all, because breathing is our most important function. He articulates it beautifully. Check that out. All right, remember, there is no hedonic adaptation to this, you know, which is awe, right? The more we practice awe, the richer it gets. And remember what that great Zen master said, the most remarkable thing is that we're all going to die, but we live each day as if it wasn't so. So I hope this will be your reminder to live this day fully, to laugh wholeheartedly, right? And to just enjoy life and experience some awe. So thank you so much, as always, for listening. I'll see you next week.